Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Let's Get Psyched. My name is Annabelle Ganey. I'm a crisis counseling student. I am, just talking about psychology, talking about pop culture, talking about characters and movies and TV and all the things that I see. Please don't take any of my advice and use it in your own personal life. I am not a licensed therapist, and I'm not your therapist yet. Well, I might be one day, but as of right now, I'm not. So, please don't take my advice and apply it to your life, and I'm really excited to get this episode started. Yee! Oh, man. So, hello.
Hi. Are we starting right now?
Yeah, it's gone.
It is gone.
I just felt like it would be better to start it more casual. Welcome to Let's Get Psyched. My name is Annabelle, as many of you know, and it has been largely requested to have my mom do an episode with me. So I figured, well, if I'm going to have her do an episode, we're going to talk about serial killers, because my mom was born in 1960, which means she was a young adult when some of the most infamous serial killers were around. So, any thoughts, Mom?
Yes, I hate this topic, but I did live in the 60s and 70s growing up, and so...
And 80s and 90s.
Right.
So on.
And so on. But growing up, I might have some interesting thoughts and experiences and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So I'm happy to be here with you.
Wow.
Mother-daughter.
Wow.
Talking about serial killers.
Yeah.
Fun.
What's better than that? Oh, yes. I guess just maybe my form of torture for you, Mom.
Okay.
But, so something I was thinking about in preparing for this episode is that I feel like because serial killers aren't as... They're not really a thing now. Like, they're not all over the news, plastered everywhere. It's not like a nationwide, like, you know, like Ted Bundy, Dahmer. Oh. That was, like, right. Worldwide news. And that's, right. That largely doesn't happen anymore. Rarely. Right. And so, for living in the 70s and 80s, when there weren't phones, and there wasn't...
We had phones.
You did not have cell phones.
Oh, well, no, we had... Oh, my.
Landlines.
Landlines.
Yes. But you didn't have cell phones.
No, we did not have cell phones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we had phones.
I know you had phones. It's not Titanic era. I'm just saying. I'm saying that if you were stranded on the side of the road at midnight, you're screwed.
You walked.
Yeah, and you got kidnapped.
Slept in the car.
Oh, God.
And lock the doors and pray to Jesus, or you walk.
I would have ran.
Well, you don't run when there's nowhere to run. Like if there's no
help. Yeah, Forrest Gump ran and he got somewhere. I mean, you'd run.
Well, the other thing too is back then we didn't have 911. So like even
when was 911 invented?
I don't know.
Keep talking.
We should look that up. You want me to keep talking?
Yeah.
Okay. So, a little bit about myself, I guess. I grew up in the country.
1968. So, it was around.
Well, okay, though. In my hometown, we didn't have 911. You called Zero, the operator. And it
switchboard.
Was a person. And you said, send the sheriff.
You're old.
And the sheriff took about an hour to get to our place in the country on a huge lake and a 44-acre orange grove.
Yeah, I believe that.
So.
I've been there.
Yes, you have. So anyway, yes, it was a different era back then. We had phones, though. We just didn't sell phones.
We are not on different pages about phones, okay? Who was it? Alexander Graham Bell invented the phone. Yes, I'm aware.
Yes.
I'm saying cell phones, though. Because I feel like a lot of the men and women who were killed by Bundy or John Wayne Gacy or even Dahmer or Manson,
mm-hmm.
maybe things would have turned out different if there were cell phones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if there was access to
they had a phone authority. On them.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I agree. And especially in the 60s and 70s when, you know, smaller towns, smaller communities didn't have 911.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you were in a serious situation, you know, and you needed to dial the operator, sometimes the operator was there and sometimes not.
Yeah, what if she went to lunch?
Well, I mean,
they switched shifts or something?
I do not know. But I'll just say this, that it was a different time frame, but it was also, there was a little bit more of a, like the 60s were very safe. Like it was, your kid could ride, you know, down the street on a bike.
Right.
You know, things like that. So it was what a little bit more, I used to ride my bike, meet my friend halfway.
Right.
And we'd ride to the little general store, the post office.
Yeah. So what do you think changed then from the 60s to 70s to the, like, sudden rise in serial killings?
When Adam Walsh...
Disappeared. Yeah.
In Miami. That absolutely...
So do you think that, like, topped it off?
There was another girl in Ocala... that was walking home from school and a white van, you know, somebody.
Yeah, watch out for those white vans.
The white vans. No kidding.
Don't accept ice cream from a white van or candy or a single man who's looking for a wife.
Run.
Run. Yeah.
So people are more educated now. You know, and they tend to, you know, we have to educate our kids now.
Yeah. Well, should have educated them back then, but I guess it wasn't really a thing.
No, there was a
Like they weren't on the milk carton.
Right.
Was Adam Walsh the first one on a milk carton?
I think the Walsh family was really, I mean, I don't know the facts on that, but I think the Walsh family was very you know, proactive in having that done.
Yeah.
The missing children milk carton thing. So but yeah.
So the first missing child on a milk carton was in 1979. His 6-year-old, Eaton Patz, walked 2 blocks from his home to his bus stop in Manhattan. And no one ever saw him again.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. Sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the other thing, too, that I think about is, like, I feel like, maybe not like mass hysteria, but I feel like, especially in the Bible Belt, like with all the serial killings that were happening, like, were people freaking out that you recall? Like, would you go to church and people would talk about it or like what, like?
Oh, yeah. And even like as a teenage girl, you know, well, I grew up hearing about Ma Barker and her sons that, you
know who that is.
Well, you can research that one. Okay. That just wicked, a wicked mother that raised up wicked sons that would just shoot people, kill, you know.
I mean, I would say most of the people on our list.
You know, that was before my time, but it was, you know, it was kind of legendary, you know, discussion. At sleepovers, you better watch out. Ma Barker's coming, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she was wicked. But anyway.
But that's interesting that you guys would use that as like a, like almost like the boogeyman, like a threat. Like,
well, not as a threat.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like a teasing.
You know, well, you know how sleepovers are. You tell scary stories or, you know what I'm saying? And so, and you know, I mean, my goodness, you know, in the Orange Grove, we'd be searching for Bigfoot.
Wow.
You know, with my brothers.
But Bigfoot is fake. That
but you could
crazy lady was real.
The crazy lady was real.
That's what I'm saying is a difference.
Right. I think that, also in the late 70s, mid 70s, you had movies coming out like The Town That Dreaded Sundown, that but my best friend and I went. Do you think they played
off of that because of the killings that were happening? Like, because it was already heightened, it was like, oh, this is a good time to, like, amp people up more.
I think it just became more prevalent on the news. People were starting to get more. Well, our society was changing. Yeah. You know, media, TV was great.
So, I mean, I guess when you think of, like, the Black Dahlia, that case even. Do you not know that case?
I don't think
it's a horrific case. Oh. It was a horrible. It's one of the most gruesome murders I have ever read about or seen pictures of or anything. But that was in. I don't know when that was in. When was that in? Black Dahlia case. It's a really good podcast on the Black Dahlia and that whole family. Very interesting. Yeah, that was in the 40s? No. Yeah, she died in 1947. So that was one of the first, I think, nationwide cases because her body was found. Sorry, this is graphic. Cut in two.
Okay. Yeah.
And then look at her face.
Oh, no. I do not want to look at that.
I googled pictures of her. But like Joker style, they cut.
I see. No.
They cut a smile into her. Isn't that?
I'm not looking at that.
No. That was before like the Joker even existed. And that's like.
That's terrible.
It's probably what he's based off of.
Oh. It's awful.
Well, yeah, it is awful.
So, yeah, would say that, you know, there just wasn't. I didn't grow up with a lot of fear.
That's good.
And it changed, though, the more stuff started hitting the news.
Yeah.
Well, you know, TV went from just black and white kind of family shows to suddenly in the 70s, you had more news channels. You had more. It was just more available in the home.
Yeah.
So I really think that that was it.
So you don't think there's an actual increase in serial killers? You think there's just more increase in awareness?
I do think that it's proven that in those, you know, 70s and 80s was a heightened time.
It was all the drugs.
For serial killers.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Just on the list we looked up tonight, how many there are.
It's and the other thing, too, is that in the 70s, another thing that our generation was, it just, the whole Helter Skelter book came out.
Right.
About the true facts of the Manson cult and murders and all of that.
You know, I kind of want to read that.
California. And I read that book for a class in high school. And and then in the 80s, we had Halloween.
Right.
We had Friday the 13th. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. That's why it
began
almost,
to escalate.
That's what I'm saying is that it feels like almost like, I don't know whether fortunately or unfortunately, but like a lot of filmmakers and books and, you know, because even Stephen King, a lot of that stuff, it felt like almost rode the wave out of the heightened serial killings that started happening in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And even into the 80s. But that's when it became more like pop culture in a way. And it is sad because it's sad that I can name Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, all these people, and I cannot name a single person they killed.
Oh, that is tragic. You're right.
I mean, how much we glorify evil, I guess, in a way.
You've got a great point.
Well, wow. it's just
that's
the point.
Sobering.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason and part of the thing I want to talk about with you is like, why does our culture, me included, I'm just as guilty of having an obsession, you know, with serial killers, like the fascination behind, but they're like, Manson has like cult following of people who like obsess over him and study him. And like, it's, and it blows my mind because it's like, people just think maybe because they weren't alive when it happened and they weren't watching it on the news and they didn't experience the fear of, oh my God, could it happen to me? That they're just like, oh, this like mysterious,
fascination,
crazy person, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah, a mysterious fascination
yeah.
with it. Our culture has become, you know, here in the 2000s, especially
2020,
really, you know, just obsessed with different facets of history and that kind of thing. And so you probably have a sector of people that will focus on that kind of thing.
Well,
but I'm telling you right now, no, run. No.
Run from what?
Charles Manson? Heck no.
Well,
any of these people, I mean,
I don't think anyone's looking to date them, Mom. I know that.
But what I'm saying
is, dead.
I struggle with, you know, the obsession of that because
ooh, well, this is a good point then.
Okay.
Because I will confess, I can not obsess in a weird way, but I like listening to, well, you listen to Crime Junkies or My Favorite Murderer, or I will watch true crime stuff or murders or serial killers, or and I think part of it is, and I think this is for a lot of people, part of it is the fascination of, I can never imagine a human being capable of that. And
well,
so you're just like enthralled.
I look at it from this, I do listen to Crime Junkies, but then I have to take a break every now and then. And I did submit actually a case, an unsolved case to them that they actually had not done yet. And they responded to me and
thanked me
for that.
Famous, Mickey.
But the thing is that I think the word obsession is too strong in my thoughts on that. Because
there's a difference between obsession and fascination.
Yeah. Obsession is when it consumes you.
Yeah.
I just think of how the victims, just of how in the world, Lord, did they ever endure what they endured?
Oh.
And so, you know, I'm also around the age of, you know, the Kyo sorority sisters,
right,
you know, with the Ted Bundy murders there. And
was there more fear on your campus when that was happening?
At University of Florida?
Or what? I guess it wasn't as well known yet. Like, he wasn't caught yet. Just like these killings were happening to his young girls.
Well, there was an awareness.
But it wasn't.
Did I still go out and, because, you know.
Yeah, and jog
and
at late at
yeah,
night.
I would go.
Crazy.
You know, jog 3 or 4 miles
crazy,
at night
girl.
At about 9 o'clock on campus. Stupid.
9 o'clock? Who
Stupid.
Runs at 9 o'clock?
But anyway. You know, so I think there was an awareness of it.
Yeah.
I just think it's changed how people raise their children.
Yeah.
We've had to teach our kids
Stranger danger,
you know, and that kind of thing.
Did you know?
And how to be wise. And
fun fact that a person who is probably going to kidnap you or harm you in some sort of ways, you more likely to be someone you know than a stranger. Do you know that?
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it.
Are you serious?
Well, think about it. I played soccer with a girl who murdered someone. That's a true story.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Daddy was her coach.
I played soccer with her. And there was a neighbor that lived down our street who also killed someone. For life insurance money.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you're right. I see what you're saying.
It's more. I think the stranger danger obviously is a good thing, clearly.
Yeah.
But it also is just like, I mean, the reality is it always could be someone down the street or someone you know.
Yes. And I do think in today's society, we have a rise of mental illness. People that are not seeking out help.
Right.
In early stages of
psychosis,
you know,
and all types of stuff.
Addictions.
Yeah. Yeah. Addiction.
And
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And so, it definitely, I think it was probably when I went to college that, with University of Florida being such a huge campus, that I was more aware,
mm-hmm,
of who was walking around me, you know, back and forth to class. And
but still went over to a strange guy's.
Oh, did we have to bring that up? Seriously?
But that's a great example.
Do not follow my example. If you're young, do not follow this example.
If a strange guy asks you to come over to play music or something, don't do it. Because
I've seen him in the music department at UF.
Doesn't matter.
So it's not like, you're right, it doesn't matter.
Go somewhere public. First date people, go somewhere public, take separate cars, send your location to someone so they know where you're at. Don't be dumb, all right? You hear me?
That was kind of creepy.
No, it was very creepy.
Yes.
And basically, as my mom was leaving this guy's apartment or whatever it was, what did he tell you?
Well, we sat and just chatted. He writes music and I write music. And so I had seen him, you know, at the music school where I would go and...
I'm telling you, it's the ones you know.
Play the piano.
It's the ones next door. Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's not the stranger, even though he was a stranger, but you felt familiar around him. That maybe was his tactic.
I did feel, you're right. Oh, now I'm freaked out.
Anyway, well, you're alive.
I am alive. But anyway, so in his apartment was not far from mine, right across the street.
Did you tell anyone where you were going?
Well, no.
Oh, my God.
But no. Well, anyway, so he said, 5 o'clock, why don't you come over
and
we'll just visit. And it wasn't a date. And let's talk about music and that kind of thing. Nicest guy. Just, you know, very calm. And so we did. I was there for a good hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
And just had the nicest visit and all that. Nothing was uncomfortable. And I said, well, you know, I need to get going. I'm meeting some friends for dinner. And I walk over to the door, and he stands up. And as I'm opening the door, he says, Victoria. And I turned around, and I said, yes. And he said, you're a nice girl. And next time, I would be very wise and not go to some guy's apartment.
God!
And I could not leave out of that door fast enough. Dude. I was not... Wait a minute, let me finish. I was not creeped out in the least bit. I was not until he said that.
But think of Bundy. And
the look on his face. And do you want to know something? I never saw him again.
Let me tell you. You guys want to know how Ted Bundy did it? He was charming.
I know.
He was so... Like girls were attracted to him, and he was charming and outgoing and kind.
And this guy was cute. He was.
Yeah. Clearly scoped you out. I mean, what if
anxiety is sitting in my neck.
Well, it's
right
not
now.
Happening now.
Okay,
it's all right.
I know, but...
But the thing that floors me is it's like, you don't know truly what his intentions could have been.
You're right.
And maybe he was just convicted by how kind you were and how innocent and was like, this girl's dumb. And just like... I'm sorry, but he's just like, maybe I need harder prey or...
Oh, gosh.
But thank you. You willingly walked into his trap like, all right, here
well,
I am.
I would never have done that. Had
well,
I not
obviously.
Now.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean,
and he just
I would
went,
never
no,
have done
need...
that if I had not seen him for, you know, like a year in the,
and then
the halls
disappeared.
Of the music.
Oh, my
I
God.
I never saw him again after Woo! That. Not one time. Oh, that is so freaky.
Yeah, he's probably like, thought you were hot, scoping you out, and was gonna like keep you as his pet.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe the Lord just intervened and was like,
don't you think?
Was just like, no,
I was not creeped out until he said that to me. And
well,
if you could have seen, I can see the look on his face right now. And I could not. It was like the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I couldn't get out. I ran down the one flight of stairs. And I literally, because I was, you know.
Maybe that was just
I was
a
parks and rec management major then. So I was very athletic. Very thinner.
Okay.
And so.
Just move on.
So I could run. And so I ran. I ran as fast as I could back to my place. So. No, God was merciful that day. I'm convinced. He was saying,
it just,
oh my gosh,
it just,
we've got to help
I literally
this girl
think
out.
That guy was probably like, this was too easy. I need something more difficult.
Oh my Lord.
I'm serious.
Are
because
you serious?
That's my thought is because sometimes if they like a little chase.
But maybe he had mercy on me. Maybe he thought, oh, she's really sweet or something. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, I think that's actually a tactic that you're supposed to do with, I think, well, maybe not. I don't know. I could be lying. Don't take my advice.
No, let's don't go there.
No. I think that is a tactic, though, that they say if you're, like, kidnapped, to start talking about, like,
your life
and try to get them to empathize with, like, I want to get married someday, or I want, you know, I don't want to die before my mother. I don't know. You know what I mean? Mm. Don't quote me on that, people, if you're ever kidnapped. You know, I'm not liable. But,
wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild story.
That is a wild story. And I have not ever forgotten that.
Well,
and I have always come away from that experience with an unquestionable knowing and feeling that God was with me.
I agree.
To this day.
I agree.
I have passed that information on to you.
Well,
your friends, and, you know. So
boy, someone could try to get me in their van, and...
Honey, you could...
They would be castrated real quick.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just saying.
Anyway,
it would not stand a chance.
You could...
Do some damage.
You could put on some whip ass. You could.
Or I'd just lay on the ground, and I guarantee you they could not lift me up.
Well, actually... That's what I used to tell the boys.
Well, yeah.
Players
that
we had.
Story.
You know,
I don't think anyone would try to kidnap them.
Well, you don't know. With kids, just lay on
the
ground.
I mean, John Wayne Gacy, he tortured boys and...
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's sad.
Well.
But.
Oh, my gosh.
You like talking about this more than you put on.
I'm having fun with this, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
All right. Don't let her fool you.
We are not making light of anyone.
No, of course not.
That has been a victim and lost their life over this, and loved ones.
No, 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 no.
That is where the tough line is.
Let's be clear.
But I'm having fun with you.
Yes.
Yes.
Aw, Mims. Good Mims.
It's been a dream of mine.
Oh, God.
To do a mother-daughter podcast.
It's not been a dream of mine.
I know that. But we have
requests. But the people have spoken.
Yeah.
Whatever people those are.
And so, yeah.
But, no, to be clear, it is all the people we have mentioned and plenty more have done unspeakable, horrible acts, and it's tragic. I mean, I can't imagine what solace or peace do you get as a family member of someone who was just brutally... Yeah, I mean, it's just, like,
the same.
Awful. And...
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's heartbreaking. So, us talking about this is not making light of the fact of what has happened. It's just, you know, I think it's, an awakening to, well, you can name probably how many people Ted Bundy have killed. A lot of us can, but yet we can't name a single of their names. And I think it brings light to, like, our society and our culture constantly magnifying the perpetrator and never the victims. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, even in mass shootings and school shootings, mm-hmm. it's like, who are they plastering and who are they, you know? And I think it's sad. You know, it's one thing if you're having to put a face out there to find a person, say, hey, look out for this person.
Yeah.
But it's another thing when they've already done the act and everyone just kind of, unfortunately, forgets about the victims.
Yes. And I think that Adam Walsh's mom and dad were absolutely the trailblazers.
Oh, 100%.
For utilizing every possible media outlet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To never let their son be forgotten. Oh. And to turn...
That's the one name I do know.
Unthinkable pain.
Yeah.
Into saving lives and a great purpose.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
if you don't know that story, it's sad, but I do recommend looking up the Adam Walsh story. It's a very sad, tragic story, but what his dad, especially, mm-hmm. and mom decided to do with that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so much we could actually talk about serial killers and different ones and what they did. And there is a lot of psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. A lot of serial killers have grown up, either abused themselves or abusive parents. And some haven't. Some are just the anomaly where they truly are born with without empathy. And there's just that psychopathic tendency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are I'm pretty sure John Wayne Gacy, maybe not him, maybe it's someone else, had super controlling mothers who were abusive. And mm-hmm. so then it's not John Wayne Gacy, it's someone else. So then the women that they killed were more of them acting out on how they felt towards their mother than actual, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's it takes a lot of abuse and a lot of neglect for a child or an adult to even feel that way. It's not mm-hmm. obviously not the norm, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of psychology behind it. There's a lot that can feed into that. There's even different demographics of if you're poor, you're more at a risk, or if you're, disadvantaged in some way, you could be more at a risk. Mm. It just depends. Sometimes environments create the monster. They're not born that way.
Yeah.
But it's fairly interesting, now that there's whole pathways in FBI and stuff that is behavioral analysis of
incredible stuff is out these days.
Yeah, they can literally psychoanalyze a serial killer and probably what has happened to them, mm-hmm. what their triggers are, all these things by looking at crime scenes, by looking at mm-hmm. their victim, by looking at the inferences they can make by just these subtleties is kind of unreal.
Forensic science has escalated.
Well, I think that's why it's not as
to a whole new level.
That's why I think serial killings are not as prevalent.
Right.
And cell phones, of course, because someone can film you and there's security cameras and everyone. But it does make me wonder. I don't think the amount of people who maybe have the desire to kill has decreased, but I wonder what they do differently. But it's kind of like, how do you feel about this? This is interesting. So you know the show Dexter?
I know of it.
But you don't watch it. Oh, yes. No. Yes, 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 yes. Uh-uh. Well, the whole premise of it is Dexter is a serial killer, mm-hmm. but he's a cop, and he kills other serial killers.
So he thinks he's doing good.
Yeah, and that's the question. Do you think that is good, or do you still think it's bad? Ooh. Moral question.
Okay, in Hollywood.
But if it were real life.
Real life?
Yes.
No, because, he's doing the very thing they're doing, but he's getting rid of
exactly. He's getting rid of the evil.
Batman. It's like,
I guess you could call Batman a murderer as well. And Superman.
You know what I mean? Going after.
Well, does Superman kill people? I don't know, but probably has. He probably punched someone and killed someone.
He only had, if he had to, I guess.
So why did why does that make it better?
Oh, this is deep.
I mean, not really, but it's just it's just that thing of we will excuse superheroes that kill bad guys, but yet if it were a serial killer killing bad guys, ooh, where's the excuse? You know what I mean? Right. It's I think that's why Dexter is such a, on that premise, an interesting show, because it plays with that morality of,
yes,
and even the death penalty, is it ever moral to actually kill someone? You don't have to answer that, but it's an interesting question to pose.
It is an interesting question.
Who actually holds the judgment to say we can end this person's life?
Very true.
Who's done something awful?
Yeah.
Because is there ever a hope that they could get better? And would you want that even happening?
Well, I think in the 90s, because Ted Bundy did eventually get, you know, convicted of those murders.
Yeah.
Sentenced to, you know, death in Florida. And...
Which, to put it in perspective, Ted Bundy killed over 30 people.
Right. And so...
this wasn't like one or two people, which is still horrible, but he killed a lot of people.
Right. From Washington on down, California, all the way across the country.
Oh, yeah.
He did. Okay. But I think...
He was ugly, too. I don't know why people thought he was cute.
Ted Bundy, all the stuff I've read about him, you know, they said
now Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy. Whew. Boy.
Well, Zac Efron. I had a hard time watching that.
Well, yeah, because you're thinking, we're all in this together.
Yes, I was back in High School Musical.
And then...
And I'm like, how did they cast Zac Efron as Ted Bundy? I can't...
Maybe they just thought he somewhat looked like him. I think it maybe the nose... I don't know, but, you know, Ted Bundy's gross and Zac Efron's a snack. And so I just don't, understand.
He's a snack.
He's a hottie with a body. You know what I'm saying?
Anna Gaynor. Oh, my Lord.
Why is that bad to say?
Anyway.
He's got a fine physique.
He is handsome. But the thing is that, you know, from everything I've read over the years, Ted Bundy was very charming, like you said, and very intelligent, extremely smart.
Most of these guys, I feel like,
and so
the ones who
had that
people.
Kind of boy, kind of like everyday guy, you know, look, and so, but in Florida, you know, he was convicted for all that and sat on death row for you know quite a few years and whatnot, and
I wonder what his last meal was.
And you're going for the meal, okay? Oh. Are you going to look that up?
Yeah. Ted Bundy's last meal.
I wasn't even thinking about the meal.
Well, I was.
This is why we need to do a podcast, I swear.
We are doing a podcast. Oh, disgusting. This is how you know he's a freaking psychopath, people. He ordered a last meal of sardines and dried fish. Who the heck orders that crap?
Okay, oh.
Hold on. Let me see. Wait, there's more.
Why? They have pictures of it.
Yes. He declined the special meal, so was given the traditional last meal. Wait. Oh, wait.
This is why...
Hold on.
It's a steak.
Oh, no. So he declined a special meal. So whatever I just last read was, I think, false information.
Okay.
And was given... The traditional last meal, steak, medium rare, eggs over easy, hash brown, toast with butter and jelly, milk and juice. What kind of weirdo?
Well, there you go.
I mean, it sounds good, but also...
Well, okay.
I think I'm hungry.
But the thing I'm getting to before you were...
Wikipedia speaking, lied. He did not order sardines, people. Okay. Continue on.
Okay. So, the thing that was a little bit challenging, a lot challenging... was you had so much emotion wrapped up against him.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, trial was on, if I'm not mistaken, it was televised in certain parts of Florida.
Probably.
And, you know.
It's a big case.
But a big case, huge case, for years too. Like for, you know, years leading up to that. But the thing that that was interesting was that he... supposedly became a Christian in prison.
Ooh.
Okay, so here's I'm going to throw in a little curve here. Okay? And so Focus on the Family, you know, was founded by Dr. James Dobson, psychologist, very famous psychologist. I'm not sure your generation would know who that is now. But and so he had been following...
Oh, he did.
He had been following the Bundy case all the way through, and Ted Bundy, before he died, a couple of weeks before he died, he requested the only interview he would give was with Dr. James Dobson.
This is a Jeffrey Dahmer also converted to Christianity.
Did not know that. So it's like, how do you...
Well, I think it's the thing of the murder on the cross. If he would have accepted Jesus...
You're right.
He would have gone.
Yeah,
the thief did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unfortunately, I will say, it's hard for me to say, oh, so glad he'll be in heaven. I mean, obviously...
Redeemed,
but still PCOS. You know what I mean?
Well, in our human understanding.
Yeah. Right. Kind of deserves to be in hell.
I think.
But I'm not the judge.
From a human perspective, yes. That was a hard time. There was a lot of conversation then about that.
Well, but we also don't know if it was sincere.
Well, only God knows a man's heart.
So, I mean, it's just like, was he saying that for television, for the interviews, or was it a true...
Well, I don't know.
I feel like a person who's not capable of empathy...
He wanted to be... His purpose for those interviews was because he wanted Dr. Dobson to... he wanted to explain to Dr. Dobson the causes, as a little boy, things that happened.
He had a serious... Childhood,
and so he wanted to focus on those kind of things in his interview with him to maybe help somebody else down the road. And you know what? Dr. Dobson took some flack, some criticism for even doing that back then.
I think he definitely suffered abuse. I think it seems by the hand of his grandfather, who was very violent, and it says, and some Bundy experts have theorized that he was the result of his mother being raped by her father. Even
I had read that. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
all of it's sad for everyone and everything.
It
There's
is.
No part of it. Child's safety in childhood was robbed, and he ended up clearly taking that out. It says his aunt would find her toddler nephew placing knives near her sleeping as a toddler.
Yeah.
And
so it's just
actions only occur in like super traumatized children who have witnessed violence.
Yeah.
Because how else would a toddler know how to do that?
You can have.
So. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
There are different signs. There's like, if they wet the bed constantly, if they kill animals, if they set fires, stuff like that. Those are normally signs that your child needs help.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
He fantasized about being adopted by popular Western stars because they could give him the things he wanted. Interesting. Interesting. Ooh, Bundy resented his mother because he was illegitimate. So yeah, I think if you're, again, like we talked about, environment is a lot. Genetics play a part. Environment is crucial.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think...
You have so many, you know, working in a school system, you know, you just are more educated today on trying to help parents understand that, you know, find the positive in your child, you know, find ways to correct the negative behavior without absolutely, you know... just crushing your child's spirit. And and so...
Well, and clearly his mother didn't do a good job because she constantly brought up that he was illegitimate. And
see, that's my point. You know, I guarantee, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But there you go. He was just fed that his whole growing up. And that's sad.
Yeah.
You know.
Ooh, he was teased growing up for having a speech impediment. Did you know that?
Trying really hard on the anti-bullying campaigns in schools and in families these days, you know? It's very real. Bullying is.
Well, yeah. Bullying is freaking terrible.
It is.
It's awful. But, interesting. Well, we've gone almost an hour.
We have not.
Yeah, it's almost 45 minutes. So this is an extended edition. Normally I keep mine to like 20, 25 minutes, but there's a lot to talk about.
There was. I had fun.
Yeah. It's a good time. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you for being patient with my anxiety level before we started.
Yeah, it was like she was getting naked in front of you guys.
You can just take that back right now.
Well, that's how nervous you were. Well, it's just your voice.
Yeah, we had fun. It was great.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. That's all right. Well, love you guys. Glad you listened, and I hope you found this interesting, and just let us know what else you want Vicky, Tricky, and I to discuss in the future, and if we should start our own separate podcast.
Yes, we should.
We'll consult.
We will.
So these are just our opinions and our thinking out loud stuff. So, hope you have a good night. Bye. Say bye.
Goodbye.